Going to read James 2, 18 and 19. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. I want to read from a book Richard Rohr was given to me. I appreciate very much what he has to say. I don't know if anybody ever heard of him. He's one of the Christian writers. It's entitled, Yes, But. Yes, the mind is necessary, but it cannot do everything. Yes, the mind is receptive, but reason is not the only antenna. We also need our bodies, our emotions, our hearts, our nose, our ears, our eyes, our tastes, our souls. Yes, the mind can achieve great things, but through over-control, it can also limit what we know. Yes, the mind can think great thoughts and also bad and limiting ones. The mind can be a gift and a curse. Yes, the mind can tell left from right, but it cannot perceive invisible things such as love, eternity, fear, wholeness, mystery, and the divine. Yes, the mind can discern consistencies, logic, and fairness, but it seldom puts these in practice. Yes, the mind and reason are necessary, but they must learn to distinguish between what lies between its reach. Pre-rational and trans-rational. Yes, the mind is brilliant, but the more we observe it, the more we see it is also obsessive and repetitive. Yes, the mind seeks truth, but it can also create lies. Yes, the mind can connect us with others, but it can also keep us apart. Yes, the mind is very useful, but when it does not recognize its own finite viewpoint, it is also useless. Yes, the mind can serve the world, but in fact, it largely serves itself. Yes, the mind can make necessary distinctions, but it can also divide its thoughts, what is undivided in nature and what is concrete. Yes, the mind is needed, but we also need other ways of knowing, or we will not know well, fully, or freely. Yes, the mind is good at thinking, but it is also so much so that most humans, like Descartes, think they are their thinking. Think they are their thinking. Yes, the mind likes to think, but until it learns to listen to others, to the body, the heart, and all the senses, it also uses itself to block everything it does not like to do or to acknowledge. Yes, the mind is our friend, but when we are obsessive or compulsive, it can also be our most dangerous foe. Yes, the mind welcomes education, but it also needs to be uneducated to learn how much of what it knows is actually mere conditioning and prejudices. One last section. Knowledge is the gathering of information. It consists in knowing about 10,000 things, as the Buddhists poetically call it. It involves having the facts straight. This is beneficial to have. But all the information in the world does not of itself accumulate into wisdom. In fact, as the Franciscan Saint Bonaventure noted, wisdom is confusing to the proud and often evident to the lowly. Wisdom is not the gathering of more facts and information as if they could eventually coalesce into truth. Wisdom is precisely a different way of seeing and knowing those 10,000 things. I want to talk about evil today. It's not a very enlightening subject. I talked and shared a few ideas out at the Sunday school class. I think we have reasoned out evil in our thinking. We say, and we try to just kind of say it subtly doesn't exist. I think in our theology, we don't recognize it in the way that we should. Not that I think we should glamorize evil. I think, as in the passage that we read, it was believed at that time, and it was for some time after, that there was demons and these type of things. These were part of what people thought and believed. There is a passage in Mark. There is a distinction, and I am not saying diseases are demons, nor am I saying that there is none. But I'll read this passage in Mark 1:32. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and the demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out demons, and he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Jesus clearly distinguishes between disease and demons. We say God is in control. I think that's a generalization. Most cultures had a whole array of gods. I'm not necessarily supporting that idea, but I think it sometimes we rule out the possibility. If we look at the storms that are coming in this country, where do they come from? We say God will protect us. So does God create the storm so he can protect us? I think the question becomes a little more deeper than simply saying God is in control. I almost believe that there are still different types of forces. Well, I do believe that there's still a multiple of forces before you reach up to God or communicate through Jesus Christ to a high level of godness. I know there's some here who will probably disagree with me. If an idea controls you, which it does, what you believe controls your actions, controls your thoughts, controls how you respond, it takes on a spirit. It comes somewhere. It accumulates somehow. The Hebrew, when you start into mysticism, each letter took on a spirit. So when you connected letters together, you made a word. You collected words together, you made a sentence. An idea started to develop. The idea then became a hill. That's a phrase that's used in the Bible, a hill. And then it became a mountain. And then there's life on it, there's light on it. All this terminology is in the Bible. a light on the hill you can't see. So we're not talking about a light on top of the hill. We're talking about a light on top of an idea that shines out to the world and is in your mind. This is in a more spiritual idea. I believe that there is a spirit connected to that. It develops into a spirit. What you believe, you are taking on a spiritual idea. You are giving it that voice. You are the legs of that idea. Jesus says, believe this way, you will think this way, and you will live this way. So that tells me there's other ways in which you can accept that you believe and you live that way, which is not what Jesus taught. If one could remove all evil, what would be left? Everybody's quiet. We assume that good would be left. Good is our evil. Is evil the opposite of good? I don't think so. I think evil is a parasitical, is a parasite onto good. One example I use of it, you have an orange or an apple, it has a rotten spot on it. That rotten spot can't live by itself. It has to have a host. We, as we accept ideas, become that host of them ideas. If you want to get rid of that rottenness, you take a knife and you cut it off that apple or whatever, and the rest remains good. That's essentially what God does to us through Jesus Christ as broken peoples. He takes out that rotten spot and heals it. And he says, and eventually he'll say, you don't know it anymore. If, as we are moving in this country, we are multicultural, we're multiple ethnicities in this country, and we are working together, I think. So I want to ask a question. And I'm hesitant to ask this question because it's multiple faced and I don't want to make it sound like it's racist. When this country started, there was white males that ruled it. When the church was started, white males ruled it. So as it traveled out, it started to curve down to some respect. I would say it's the arc of civilization. That's talked about as a logical idea. So when we got to 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, working at 2, the male said, let's put diversity in here. So they plugged diversity in there. Said, oh, is diversity a last-ditch effort to save not only this country, but the church? Will it bring us around on a clock to like 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock again? Or will it fail and then white man will pick it up again? That sounds pretty racist, doesn't it? But I think about that. I think about that in the church that I belong to. Males have run it for I don't know how many years. White males. We have had it in the last, as it started going down in numbers, they put a white woman in. Now we have it still going down and we put an African-American woman. The same way in the presidency. White gave up on it. We put an African American in. We have a businessman in. And eventually a woman will be in. What's going to happen? I don't know. It's an interesting question that I have. Any thoughts?
Couldn't screw it up anymore.
Will diversity lift us up?
I'm not sure.
Or is that?
Huh? I it's probably possible to screw it up even more.
It's the hope that it's going to lift us all up. So as each little group tries to blend, there's a certain amount of evil in your theology or your philosophy, what you think. So is evil the lubricant to change? I had a heart attack not too long ago. And because of that action, I changed my diet. May not look it, but I have. That evil, that heart attack, changed me. Was it the lubricant that changed me? I have a lot of questions today. No. I said the lubricant. There's a difference between lubricant and it's what it slides on.
The slide was the change.
It's the change. Possibility of slide. So if you look at it as a cake, you're going to make a cake. You have all these different items that you're going to put in to make a cake. That's where we are now. We have all these different ways of thinking. We have different types of people, different religions. And we're going to start dumping each one into the bowl. Then we're going to stir it up. And we're going to cook it. What's going to happen?
It's going to stick unless you lubricate it first.
You got to lubricate it with evil to get it out. That's good. That was good. Well, we talk about in our denomination, we are to be a wholeness to a fragmented world. That's one of the phrases that we use in our denomination. Is diversity going to bring that fragmented world together as we mesh it together? Is it possible to squish it together? To come up with something different? What's it going to look like? You talked about the church cycling every 500 years. I think this is where we're at. We're in this mix now. Whether you think it is real or not, it's happening. Whether you're participating or not, it's happening. Our country is changing.
You mentioned about the billions that are 10,000 ideas. You know, and Christ gave an analogy of the house built on the rock and the sand.
Right.
And the sand would be the 10,000 ideas. The rock is 10,000 particles, but it's all united in the belief that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And so the life that's built on Christ and is in communion fellowship with Christ doesn't discriminate for someone being black or white or both male or female. The idea is to have all those ideas. Well, if you're in trouble, like you're in this storm down there in the south, and you have all these ideas and principles in your mind, but you don't know where to draw from. You don't know which idea or principle to use to save you, to get your butt out of trouble, and to get out of there, you know. But when all those ideas are united in the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that he's your older brother, he's your mother, father, older brother, and he's got your hand, you know, then even if you were drowned in the water, when you come out the other side, he's got your hand.
Yeah, that's the idea of how we believe in Jesus Christ to save us no matter what. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but that doesn't have anything to do with a government, you know. Like, all the world has different governments everywhere. But the government we have is the kingdom of God. Christ is our king.
Okay, in Christian thought,
that's what everyone needs. And that's what we need to put forth, because then everyone will have the same thing, no matter what denomination or what religion or what nationality or what sex they are.
That's why I say equality is what we are looking for rather than justice.
Well, Christ said, you mentioned oneness of God, right?
Yeah.
Questioning about that. Christ's prayer for the disciples, and therefore for us, he said, Lord, that they may be one as we are. As I'm one with you, may they be all one with us. So there is one, but it's a big one.
Right, it's an infinite one.
Yes.
I mean, what was Jesus destroying individuality in that prayer?
No. But it's all those individuals are one.
One. A big, huge one.
Yeah.
An infinite one.
Yeah.
And that's where I go back to the translation of the Old Testament didn't have caps. And so when the translators of the after Christ started translating it into English, didn't know what to do with that one idea.
Male nor female, bond or Greek or whatever.
It's all one. One big huge
Christ.
You know, and it's the one.
Yeah.
Yes.
So when you're in Christ and you run into someone on the other side of the world that speaks another language and he's in Christ, you're one with him. You just know it, you know?
The love between two individuals goes beyond language.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree with that. That's an unspoken language. Anybody want to share another thought? So James is saying, believe it, and I'll finish up here, and then I have one more reading. James is saying, believe that there is one God. He says that's good. Even the demons recognized him, and I read a passage that said that the demons recognized him, and they shudder. So even in Jesus' idea back then, there was a hierarchy that exists. I believe that Jesus recognized that there was a hierarchy of power. And there was gods beyond, small energy gods that existed. They just weren't the big way up yonder, whatever that is. I'm not sure it's way up yonder. Whatever you want to call it, that up there, whatever. I still don't know quite. I think this is one thing that the church needs to do is define God in a more clearer way. I think that would be a really good project for the church a whole to figure out what this term God is. God takes care of us. God this. God that. I think that should be defined. I think that before we can move, we need to define that in a more clearer term. There is a passage in 1 Kings 19:12. Elisha was worried about, he was the only one left, and he was in a cave, and he was listening within his heart and mind, or his heart, for the Lord. And he says, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elisha heard it, he pulled up his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. One can take this in a very spiritual understanding. The mountain could be that he left his ideas and stood out in the open and was open to listening to God. You could take it physically. But I think within each one of us, we have this small, still voice planted in us. We must pause and quiet to get down to listening to that. God is in the whispers of our soul and in the depths of our hearts. Amen.
Above all kings, above all nations. nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were there before the world began, above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth. There's a way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all, above all power, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and treasures of the earth. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. And alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all.
Loving God, please use these gifts to further your kingdom, to bring renewed energies, oneness, and equality and mercy to the weary world. Amen.